If you can hear me, you can. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. A couple of things before we start. This passage that I've been given, I think accidentally gave it to me. Somebody should have saved this for themselves. This is the best passage in the entire Bible. I am so excited about it. And I was praying as I was preparing this and just praying, Lord, help me to not blow it. This is so important. I have to somehow exegete and preach this text to the best of my abilities. You've got to give everything to do this passage justice. And as I was praying, I realized, you're going to blow it. There is no way. The greatest expositor on earth could not do this passage justice. So just ahead of time, before we start, I want you to know it's going to be a fail. At the end of this message, you're just going to all walk out and be, what a fail. It's impossible. Even if I had like a glorified body, a glorified tongue, I could speak in the tongues of angels, I would not be able to preach this text like it should be preached. I'm going to try. I've prepared. I'm going to throw it all out there. I'm going to give you my best. Another thing here, there is no way we're going to get through this in a half an hour. So the breaking of bread is the central meeting. It's the most important meeting. So we're going to do that at 10 o'clock. Afterwards, this is going to be a missions report from the Costa Rica team. But then after that, I just suggest we all come back. You don't eat lunch. You don't go home and watch TV or mow the lawn, whatever, or don't eat dinner. We're going late into the night to get through all of this. So we'll just, we can talk about that afterwards. Another thing I was thinking, I just want to encourage, if you feel like saying amen or praise the Lord, at some point, the Lord's just encouraging you or challenging you, or maybe you can't say amen, but you can say ouch. You can just like say that out loud. You can say that. You have permission this morning. Yes, got one already. It won't distract me, I don't think. So let me give you some context. Justin preached last week that the incredible passage before this, Ephesians chapter 1, and we see our position in Christ, positional truth, unbelievable truth, great and high theology is presented. I'm going to try to quote this in an attempt that maybe it will help you just try to engage and listen to it. So I'm going to quote from the NASB, and hopefully I won't mess up, but just try to listen to these words. As Paul the Apostle, the missionary, the church planter, writes this letter to one of the churches that he planted. He starts out like this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now he's going to go into this theology or blessings from the Father. Blessings from the Father in verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So you've got this theology or blessings from the Father, and then it ends with this little statement, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now it goes into blessings from the Son. Listen to this. In the beloved is the Son, in the beloved. In him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And so it ends that section, blessings from the Son, with the same phrase, to the praise of his glory. And now, blessings from the Holy Spirit. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So once again, that little phrase wraps up the blessings from the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. All these blessings from the Father to the praise of his glory. All these blessings from the Son to the praise of his glory. All these blessings from the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory. You see these great truths in Scripture, and you should just explode afterwards in praise to his glory. But instead, we're all like almost falling asleep. And it is almost impossible for the human mind to grasp that great truth. And that's actually this next passage. So Paul, he realizes those are high, deep truths. And the human mind cannot capture them. And he's like, okay, I'm going to pray for you guys that the Lord would open the eyes of your understanding so that you can understand and grasp that truth. And that's this next passage, our passage for this morning. And it starts out, Paul starts praying for the church in verse 15. Actually, the prayer really starts in verse 17. But it goes like this. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of his glory, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These three things that are just mentioned, the hope and the riches and the power, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. God, that passage, all of that truth just washing over us, wave after wave, and really, we just sit and hardly comprehend and grasp any of it. Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts this morning, that we might be able to somehow comprehend, somehow give us wisdom and knowledge and revelation, that we would be able to understand these great riches that we have in Christ. Lord, I just pray that within us, our hearts would just be bursting, and as a church, we would just explode in praise to the glory of your grace. Help me to say the things that you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 15 and 16, starting out, like I said, he begins his prayer. It's the missionary's prayer for one of the churches that he's planted. It's the church planter's prayer, and he's going to start praying, but in the first verses, 15 and 16, he says, for this reason, I've heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints. And for that reason, I don't cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is in this prison cell in Rome, and he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. And he's like, I have heard of you guys in Ephesus. Every once in a while, someone comes through to visit me, and they're giving me this report. They visited you guys in Ephesus, the church, and they've come through, and they're visiting me here now in the prison cell, and they're telling me about your great faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Those are the two pillars of Christianity. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love for the saints. Faith and love. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And look, it says the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. We must come to Him trusting Him, faith in the Lord Jesus. This is what the Ephesians had. And they've got this love for the saints. He's writing the church, ACC. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. You guys are trusting in the Lord. And I've also heard that you guys love the brethren. And he's overjoyed. And he said, hearing these two things, these two great pillars of the Christian faith, these two great towers of assurance that you're a real believer, these two things drive me to say thank you to the Lord. I can't stop praying and thanking the Lord for you guys. That's what he's saying in verses 15 and 16. There was this brother. I was just in the jungle visiting some of my villages 2 weeks ago, and there was this brother, new convert in one of the villages, Reforma. His name's Elmer. And I had heard about him. One of the brothers that lives in town has internet connection. He had messaged me about this new brother that came to know the Lord about 6 months ago in the village of Reforma. And Reforma is this difficult village. It's super difficult. Bria went on a trip with me there, and she remembers how horrible it was. But this village, all the men, 24 hours a day, are drunk. And the church really struggling, three believers there. And this brother messaged me about this guy, Elmer, had come to faith in Christ in this village. And he's starting to visit all the surrounding villages. And he's preaching the gospel in these different villages. And he's starting to make disciples. And I was so excited to hear about this guy. To hear of his faith in the Lord Jesus, and then to hear of his love for the saints. This is the church planter right here. He's so excited to hear about this. I got to go to the convention of the river churches, and all these brothers and sisters from all the villages were there, and this brother Elmer came up to me. And he came up and he had 10 brothers and sisters with him that he had brought from Reforma. And he was so excited to meet me, and he gave me this big hug. I gave him a big hug, like, I've heard of you. I've heard of you. Your faith in the Lord Jesus. I mean, what happened? He's like, I heard you preach actually in our village 4 years ago, and I was dead drunk, and I've been thinking about some of those things, and the Lord saved me. And just this great joy, man, faith in the Lord Jesus and his love for the saints. He brought 10 new brothers and sisters with him. And just seeing that, it's like, this is what it's all about. Man, to see your love for the saints and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Paul, he sees that in the Ephesians. Verse 17 then, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, this is where the missionary begins to pray. And he's just praying, Lord, I just dumped a truckload of truth on them in verses 3 to 14. We went through the blessings from the Father, blessings from the Son, blessings from the Holy Spirit. Justin preached it last week. I mean, a truckload of truth, and you're just kind of left like stunned. I don't understand very much of that. I know it's like amazing, but it's hard to grasp. And Paul is like, you know what? I'm going to pray for you that the Lord gives you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I don't want to get into a lot, but the spirit of wisdom of revelation, some of the commentators debate, is this the Holy Spirit or is it more of like a disposition, a spirit? It seems to me that it's more of a disposition or an attitude, a disposition of a spirit, God's spirit giving man's spirit a spirit of understanding, that the Lord would open up your eyes to understand these great truths. If we're going to put the Christian life into practice and really live victoriously, it's got to start with positional truth. You've got to understand the great doctrines revealed in those verses 3 to 14. Once you understand who you are in Christ, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of the King. Once you really grasp that, you begin to become what you are. Becoming what you are. You are a son of the King. Now live like it. It's very interesting. Paul, he actually prays twice in the book of Ephesians. Later on in chapter 3, he prays almost the exact same thing. Right after, he gives them a truckload of truth in theology. And he just prays, Lord, I just pray that they would understand the breadth and length and height and depth and the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge. I pray that they would understand that. He prays the exact same thing. This is what the apostles in Acts chapter 6, they said they were going to dedicate themselves to the teaching of the word and prayer. You preach the word and then you pray that God would open up their eyes and their understanding to get it, to comprehend it, so that they can put it into practice. And then the last half of Ephesians is about practice. The first half, positional truth, and then he prays that they get it, and then last half, put it into practice. Three things that we need to know in verses 18 and 19. It says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He's praying then that they would understand this tremendous hope that we have in Christ. And then that they would grasp these riches that we have, and then also that we would grasp this power. So those three things, hope. As an unbeliever, I remember reading the Bible for the first time for myself when I was about 17 and a half, and reading, and really my life was just full, it was just empty, no meaning and purpose. Beginning to read the Bible, just realizing if Jesus is God, and he died for me, and he's predestined me to be his son, he's adopted me into his family, all of these great truths, tremendous meaning and purpose in my life, significado que ahora tengo. The Lord has just poured all this meaning and purpose, hope, and he's praying, Lord, I just pray that the Ephesians would understand this great hope that they have. Jesus, who is light and life and love, he cries out to us who are in darkness and disconnection and death. You, in darkness, come to my light. You, in death, come to my life. You, in disconnection, come to my love. And when you come from that darkness and disconnection and death into his light and life and love, all of a sudden, hope, meaning, purpose in this life. We've got hope. And then after that, he goes into the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This is a little bit, I'm not sure if I've got this right, but it seems that it's saying that you would understand the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. I think it's talking about God's inheritance. God's inheritance is you. That's like, to me, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal for God, it seems like. But if you look up at verse 11, that's talking about our inheritance. I think it's verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Yes, we've got this inheritance and God is our inheritance. But then later on here in verse 18, we are God's inheritance. The two-sided coin. He's our inheritance and we're his inheritance. And this is actually, God sees us as this great, rich inheritance. And it's all because of what Christ has transformed us into. He's transformed us into an unbelievable, incredible inheritance for God the Father. I mean, that ought to help your self-esteem. Forget about reading self-help books and how to have better self-esteem. It's right here. You're God's inheritance. He wants to inherit you. And you've got this great inheritance who is God himself. We inherit each other. Amazing truths right here. And then the last thing there that it talks about in verse 19, that open the eyes of their heart, that they get this hope, that they get these riches, and also power. Power. Man, I need power. I've got this sin nature problem. And it is a struggle every single day. Power. If you look
At the end of verse 19, the greatness, surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, and then it goes in according to the working of the strength of his might. In Greek, I guess, and I only took 1 year of it, so I'll just take the commentator's word for it, but there's four words for power in that same verse 19. Four words, synonyms, that are all trying to explain power. Power, working, strength, might. It's all kind of just said in different ways, but it all means the power of God. It's almost like the Apostle Paul is saying, you can't even understand how much power you have in Christ. So much power. Power to the fourth degree. That's the point of that's the title of my point right there. Power to the fourth degree. I want to point this out. Power. Power to do miracles. Power to speak in tongues. Power to heal the sick. Power to raise the dead. That's amazing. That's great. But you know what? You can have that. I just want power to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I want power to love my kids the way I'm supposed to. I want power to live a victorious Christian life. I want power to resist temptation. Power to say, no, I'm not clicking on that garbage. Power, you've got it. Warren Wiersbe writes this in his book or commentary on Ephesians, Be Rich. And he has this example of this guy whose name, a rich guy, named William Hurt. He collected lots of art, and he just loved to collect pieces of art. He had warehouses full of art, and he was reading in a magazine about this certain piece of art, and he was just so excited about this piece of art. He's like, I've got to have it. He decided, I've got to have this piece of art. So he sends a guy, one of his employees, to search the world for this piece of art. And so he sends the guy out. After a couple months, the guy comes back. And the guy proclaims, I've found it. And William Hurt says, this is great, this is great. Show it to me. Where did you find it? Where in the world did you find it? And the employee said, I found it in your warehouse. You bought it years ago. And this is a great illustration of, oftentimes as Christians, we're frantically searching for things we already have. We think we need more power, or we just need this extra blessing. No, you got it all. And Paul's just praying, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of his glory. What is it? What is the surpassing power of his greatness toward us? The hope, the riches, the power. Does anybody tap into this? Does anybody tap into that power? I mean, where are the men? Where are the men that are living victorious lives? In the power of the Holy Spirit, that power that's available to all of us. After this, look in verse 21. And this 21 to 23, the title that I want to put on these verses is Exult in Christ's Exaltation. Paul is exulting in Christ's exaltation. Christ has been exalted far above. Listen to these words. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. And I think it's talking about these things I just mentioned in the previous verses. These things, the hope, the riches, the power. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What he's trying to say is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that seated Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the majesty on high, that same power is available to you. That same power, we've got it. And then he goes far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. I can't believe it. I've 7 minutes left. This is the introduction. exulting in Christ's exaltation. He's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He's been exalted, and Paul is just exulting in that. Listen, he's saying he's far above every dominion, every potestad, everything. He's far above it all. You take a balance and you put kingdoms and kings and riches and fame. You put on that side of the balance gold and silver. You put on that side even planets and stars and galaxies, solar systems, whole universes on this side of the scale. And you put Jesus on this side and he outweighs them all. Far above all power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, every name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring in the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. The best thing that was ever put in the offering plate, the best thing that has ever given to the church, is Jesus. He's the head of the body. We're connected to the head. He's our head. That gives the church infinite value. The church is precious because of the head. Look who's the head. I love the church. Yes, the church is awkward, and sometimes we stumble, and there are hypocrites, and there are difficulties, and we don't always get along, and sometimes we argue secondary doctrines, and sometimes it's difficult, but I love the church. Why? Because it's Christ's body. One time this guy, several times actually, people have come to me, and they're like, man, Jesus is the man. I love Jesus. Me and Jesus, we're aces, this one guy said. Hey, me and Jesus, but I can't stand the church. I would never show myself in the church. You know, if Simeon's my friend, I'm going to use you. Simeon says to me, you know, Micah, I love you. Micah, you are my best friend forever. BFF, is that what you say? Or is it BBF? BFF. So, yeah, Micah, man, I just love you, big hug. And he's like, but you know what? I can't stand your wife. I hate her guts. I can't be with her. That just like did something to our relationship. You can't say that. If you love me, my wife comes with me. You love Jesus? You're best friends with Jesus? The church comes with him. You love his body. He's our head. Jesus, name above all names. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who was and who is to come. The first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. The branch. The bread come down out of heaven. The Word become flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. The chief shepherd, the great shepherd of our souls. All these titles throughout the Bible. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I'll end with this. Once the Jehovah's Witnesses came to our door. And they said, hey, we are Jehovah's Witnesses. We just want to share something from the Atalaya with you guys. And it's like, this is great. I'm a Jehovah's Witness too. And they're like, whoa, we've like canvassed the whole neighborhood. And we know right where Jehovah's Witnesses are. And we didn't know that this was in Peru. And they're like, we didn't know there's a gringo Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am totally a witness for Jehovah. Come on in. And we sat down. And I was like, you know what? I have heard that there are other Jehovah's Witnesses out there that believe that we shouldn't worship Jesus. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we shouldn't worship Jesus. He's not Jehovah.
And I was like, well, I thank you. I'm so glad you guys are here because I found these verses. Maybe you could explain them to me. And so we opened up in the New World Translation, their translation, and at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. All these verses are actually in the book of Matthew. At Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And this is where the wise men come to see Jesus. He's a little baby here, and they come to worship him. Well, so the verse says in 2:11, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And they're kind of scratching their heads, and they're like, ah, well, he was a little baby. If he was a grown man, he would have said, no, don't worship me, and this is wrong. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you for the explanation. There's another one, Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. Matthew 14, verse 33. And this is where Jesus walks on water. There's this storm. He gets into the boat. As soon as he gets in, the storm is calm. And he gets into the boat. In verse 33, it says, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are truly the Son of God. And they were kind of scratching their heads. It says this in their translation. They worshipped him. And they're scratching their heads. Well, we're going to have to talk about the jurisdiction authority that we have in this jurisdiction here. And I was like, well, okay, yeah. Well, there's another one. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. This is after Jesus is risen from the dead. Just like in that chapter 14, 33, Jesus didn't say no. He received the worship. Now in chapter 28, verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and he said, greetings. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. At this point, they looked at me and they said, you're a different kind of Jehovah's Witness, aren't you? Yes, I'm a different kind of Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father God, we just come before you this morning and we want to just explode in praise as we look at the glory of your grace. So many blessings that we have in Jesus. Father God, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart that we might understand that somehow you might miraculously reveal to us greater and greater truths about the person of Christ and what has been accomplished on the cross. Help us to grab a hold of that power that we have available to us to live victoriously. Lord, we just want to sing to you and worship you and say once again, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem, and we crown you, Jesus, Lord of all.